All right, Dwayne Brummett here with Allie Alberigo, SchoolOwnerTalk.com. Allie, nice to be with you again.
Yeah, Dwayne, it's to be here as well with you and to be able to chat. We hadn't chatted in about a week or so, so I'm wondering, what we missed out on with all the stuff, because we usually really motivate each other to do things and get each other excited to progress on in our businesses.
Yeah, we've been busy. I mean, we've got a tournament coming up this weekend, interschool tournament this weekend, and we had some field trips and what have you, and we've just been swamped. I mean, last week we had about 100 and some odd kids come through the school, and we got the same thing coming this week with the field trips and, got Halloween cards coming back, and so we're following up with those people, and so we're just jamming,
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, it's good to hear, that you're busy, and, I'm pretty busy, too. I mean, there are times that I'm busier than the next. It's almost like it goes in waves, we're always forever, and I want to point out to our listeners, too, that we're always forever marketing. And we always have some marketing, continually going on. So that's important for everyone to hear, just like you do. You mentioned field trips. We chatted. You said you have the Karate for the Holidays campaign going or Karate for Christmas. And I have Karate for the Holidays going that I kind of borrowed from you. And, anyway, long story short, there's a million different spokes in the wheel in our marketing funnel. And, that's something that people should hear first when we talk about how busy we are and what's going on.
Yeah, and, I don't want to give a false representation either, just to say that we're always busy, because I agree with what you said. Things are cyclical, sometimes you're down. And I will be the first to tell you that the end of August and then all of September was weird for us, because we just did not do the numbers anywhere near that we did last year. I did the mm-hmm. same exact stuff. You know what I mean? It's nothing it's weird. And I've even talked to a few business owners here in town that I have the privilege of helping out and coaching. And one is a chiropractor, and there's a couple other in different industries. But, even they said that it was a little slower than last year in our community. So I don't want to look for an excuse, but I guess, part of me wants to, so I don't want to give false representation that I'm always busy, because there are times that we're down.
Right, right. And there's a thing, it's like, we are always going to be down, and I think a good thing to point out in any business, and I've been in, how long have you been in open again, Dwayne? How many years?
98 is when we incorporated and opened, so okay. Whatever that is.
Yeah, like almost 18 years or so, right?
Something like that. I don't know.
I just, last November 9th, the November 9th that just passed, we just celebrated our 24-year anniversary. And, I kind of find it interesting at how, there are these coaches that are out there nowadays that are, they're rising stars, and people flock to everything they do as if it was the most amazing thing ever. And you know what? They may be the coaches of the future. However, I think that the quick flash in the pan type marketing kind of concepts or goals and systems are great as it is right now at this moment. But you know what? It's really what lasts for a long time. And there was a great book that I read from, it was called From Good to Great, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And it's about the longevity of businesses and the small percentages of businesses that last 5 years. And then the ones that last 10 years and the ones that last 15 and then 20 and then 50 and then, a century. So it's interesting to see how hard it is to stay relevant. And in the martial arts, you want to make sure that you're always relevant, because you don't want to be that old school that no one wants to go to anymore, that's not hip and cool. But you also want to be able to sell your values of being an old school that's lasted and stood the test of time and has changed thousands of people's lives and so on. So there's a good thing to, being that person who's been around that long. But however, going back to the coaches, staying around and being able to stick around and still be relevant is not easy. Do you agree?
Totally agree. But there's some stapled or foundational things that make those particular coaches that have stood the test of time, if you will, so important. And, in my opinion, the ones to follow. And that makes it even better. Like you said, it's important to be doing some of the new stuff. You know, when Facebook came out and Twitter came out and all this other stuff, to learn how to utilize them. But they are just one tool in multiple tools, and businesses have survived well before Facebook and Twitter and even Google AdWords, even as important as those are. You know, they've been around, these principles have been around longer than those, and then you can use those principles inside them.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard it too that, you know, from clients that I've coached, they'll say, well, you can't do that in my area. And, you know, to some extent, it's not true, while to other extent, it may be slightly true. Like, for example, I see people killing it in Virginia, and they're opening schools like crazy, and the schools are packed full. I find that schools are opening in Long Island, but, you know, we already have, and I think I've talked about this statistic years ago, on the call. From years ago, I remember opening my school, getting a mailing list. There was 400 martial arts schools from the tip of Albany to the tip of Southampton. That's literally the entire state of New York State. And we had 400 martial arts schools. Now, in this modern 21st century, 2014, we have close to 4,800 martial arts schools in New York. Now, New York is a big place, but in Long Island, we have a school literally on every corner. I have about 10 schools within a three-mile radius of my school. That's massive competition. So as much as we say martial arts schools don't compete against each other, you know, it's we compete against soccer and baseball. With that being true, of course, the more people doing the same business, it definitely cuts into a piece of the pie.
Most definitely.
So you got to be able to really figure out how to differentiate yourself to get your USP, your unique selling proposition, or what we call it differently, you know, and we'll actually won't even say anything on that. We do in Next Level, you know, to make it unique. We'll share that with everyone at another time, what we call our USP. But anyway, so, I mean, I think that's important. And here's the thing. I think on our topic, we wanted to chat about why schools succeed. And that was about not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, you know, like to do the things that are needed. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I can't tell you how many people that, not even just inside the martial arts industry, but even outside of it, you know, again, let me take this chiropractor for example. You know, when I first started working with him, we started at the beginning, and it's the introduction that the individual is going to have when they first call up, even well before the ads or what have you. You know, how are we going to deal with these people? You know, because if we can create an ad that, you know, is going to drive 20 people to your business or 10 people to your business, but you don't know how to funnel those people and protect them all the way through to get them to do what you want them to do and how you want them to do it and when you want them to do it. Well, the marketing is just actually going to be to your detriment, because you will be bringing in more and more people with great marketing, but with little or poor service or inadequate service or what have you. So, you know, we started with the phone call, and I know this is boring for everybody. Yes, I have a phone script, you know, but there's pieces to the phone script that you have to make sure that you have in order to, and this isn't a phone script call, by the way, so don't tune us out, but that you need to make sure that you're having. You know, one of the ones that, this was probably a few years ago, that I picked up from a friend of mine. He, you know, everybody talks about asking for referrals, but I had never heard of asking for a referral at the end of the call. You know, just saying, you know, that most of our kids enjoy, you know, or if it's an adult, most adults enjoy bringing a friend along, so that they feel a little more comfortable, and then they have a partner that's, you know, doing the trial with them. Is there somebody that you'd like to? I had never thought of that. I mean, we ask for referrals, you know, we strategically do that, but I had never strategically done it on the phone. And, you know, we've talked about that before with the effects that it has on your marketing. When you paid money to have the phone ring and you get 10 calls, and now you actually have, you know, two people from those 10 calls are bringing in somebody in. Now you have 12 people to work with as opposed to 10, and you did no more work but just open up your mouth and ask. And so that's where we started. We started with a lot of the basics, phone script, into moving into when they come in, how are they handled, just the whole process, you know, what I kind of call the roadway to success, you know, where I want them to go, when I want them to go, how I want them to go. And then we worked on that. And then the follow up from there, you know, once they become a patient client or they did their first visit. I mean, how do you treat them? How do you communicate with them? And how often do you do that? And there's just so many times that we as school owners, and here's the deal, right? Everyone is so busy that I know some schools think that it's impersonal if you make everything a system or if you systematize 90% of the things, and it isn't. It isn't impersonal. It's important. It's not impersonal. I can't tell you how many times I have, you know, people, kids especially, thank me for the birthday card that I send them. Well, truth be told, I don't send the birthday card. It is in my handwriting, you know, but the virtual assistant that I have over in the Philippines has access to my send out cards, and inside a send out card, my handwriting is scanned, and right. It comes up 7 days in advance inside the system. And then, you know, I already told him what card to send for that year. And then, you know, he types out the message that I told him to type out the message for that year. We change it every year, and it gets sent. And then I have people say, oh, you know, thank you very much for that. You know, even right. Facebook, on birthdays on Facebook, I have an app on my phone that lets me know the birthday, I don't know, probably a week in advance, 2 weeks in advance, whatever. And it has a happy birthday message already in it. I just click the button and it will put it in the queue to actually send it at a specific time that I told the birthday. I actually have it set for 7 o'clock a.m. So everybody gets a birthday notification for me at 7 a.m. on their Facebook. And I do that one personally just because it's an app on my phone. I really haven't come up with a way to outsource that one, but I don't mind doing that one. So, but it's these systematic things that need to happen that are boring, right? Most school owners, we're not necessarily ADD, all some of us are, but we like the new move or the new technique. And yeah, it's important to master the old stuff, but it was just, I mean, think about it. When you went through the ranks, right? You were just hungry for the new stuff, weren't you?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And that's the way that we run our businesses quite often, is we're hungry for the new stuff. And so we see that nice, bright and shiny object out there, and without even considering if it fits into, you know, the branding of our school, the model of our school, the look and the feel and the smell and everything of our school, we buy it, we put it into practice, and we do it halfway, and we don't even make it a system. We just throw it out there and do it, and that's the worst thing that we can do for our business. And so, again, this isn't a phone call that we're talking about the specifics of phone script here, but strategically crafting your business and starting with the foundation and moving up is where you need to be.
Yeah, and you know what? I'd like to add to that a little too. And here's the thing: I'm also working with a yoga studio, and I'm quite astounded at times at how systems are so foreign to business owners, and how people run their businesses by the seat of their pants, so to speak. So however that saying even makes sense, I don't know. Is that even really a saying? But anyway, they run them haphazardly, where I'm saying to this yoga studio, well, how do you track your leads? And they say, well, we don't. Well, how do you follow up on your sales? Well, we don't. You know, how do you sign people up? Well, they have this methodology, which is quite exciting that they even have this potential, because I wish I had it in my school, where people come in and they just literally beg to be signed up. Where in our school, we're really on top of everything, from the greeting to the handshake to the tour of the school to the introduction trial class to the sign-up process. I mean, we have everything down in the script like it was a ride at Disneyland. However, this yoga studio is not doing that, and they're still signing people up like crazy. However, I can imagine if they had a system in place, how they would be doing. They'd be doing amazingly well, probably triple their business easily. So anyway, long story short, I think that, you know, businesses need to look at, and I love doing it. I love doing a little homework assignment. Maybe I could share this with everyone. It's and I do this with my clients, called journaling, and I think we've spoken about it before, right, Dwayne? Did we?
Yep, we did.
Yeah, so maybe guys out there, listen, if you want to do something, it's not easy. Take a whole entire week of your time and literally break your everything you do from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed. Take a little notepad and write down 9 a.m., woke up, 9:15, had breakfast, 9:20, took a shower, 9:20, between 9:20 and 9:40, I drove to my school. And then literally break it down. And I know this sounds silly, but there is a positive thing at the end. Is you turn the key on your door. I opened my door and then I shut off the alarm. These things are important for the end result. You know, then I entered into my office and turned on the lights and, you know, I checked the bathrooms to be, you know, and then I answered my checked my messages on my machine and literally break it all down by the minutes. Now, here's the reason why I think this is so important, because after you're all done with doing this for an entire week, we could go back and analyze it. And then I would say color coordinate. All the things that you feel fall into three categories. Number one is just administrative stuff. Number two is, you know, necessary busy work, more systematic things like, you know, how to open and close your school. And number three, you know, what you're doing to grow your business, new student recruitment. And number four, retention. They could all be different colors. Number five might be retail. And you look at all these things that you're doing as an owner, and then you could separate it out by the colors. And then later on, when you want to make this a manual, you basically take the blues that are all your administrative duties and you pass them on to a program manager. And your greens, which are all the physical duties that maybe are, you know, involve teaching and retention of students, you color that, you know, green and slide that over to your instructors and so on and so forth. So you have processes. But the real lesson in this is to see what you're not doing. And when you look at the marketing, I would almost assume that's going to be the smallest section on everyone's list of things that they've done on a weekly basis. They don't think of marketing. Like if you were a marketing agent, you got hired by a company and says, I want you to grow our company's percentage by 50% this year. How are you going to do that? That's your job. They would be out trying to find leads anywhere. They'd be turning over rocks. They'd be going anywhere and everywhere that they could to grow the school. However, most of the time, we don't do that in our business. We do it in little splatterings of marketing, little pockets, little times, right? So
it's shotgun marketing.
Exactly. So that's the approach that we have. Even though the guys that are good, like you and I, we still could probably stand to market more, you know, and because that's what brings the businesses and makes it grow. So anyway, long story short, I think it's so important for us to journal so that we can see what we're actually doing. Really dig down deep. It's almost like doing a personal inventory of yourself. Find out where you're wasting, what your time wasters are. Find out what your the things that you are doing that are not in your big picture goals. You know, maybe it's just that you're wasting too much time on building a curriculum when you have one in place, and you don't spend enough time on staff training or whatever. What are your thoughts on that, Dwayne?
No, I totally agree. And here's my thought is, 3% of the population have actual written down goals that are visualized and they have a plan of attack in order to get them. So you're going to have only three, and I'm going to be totally honest with everybody on this call. We're going to have 3% of the individuals that actually listen to this do it. And those are going to be the individuals that are going to actually succeed. Now, just like you said, anybody that is listening to this, even if you know that you're doing very, very well, it would be great to do this exercise at least once a year.
Right.
That's just my opinion. I mean, it's just really important to go back to the basics and utilize the basics. And that's one of the foundational things is knowing what you're spending your time on. Therefore, you're going to be able to know what your time is worth. And that always usually motivates me, knowing that if, you know, I spent 5 minutes doing something that was nothing, that was non-productive, you know, I just wasted that amount of money. And in all actuality, I didn't even earn that money that I could have been earning because I was wasting it. So there's multiple reasons why it would be important to do that. But, you know, maybe I'm being too hard on us martial artists and saying that only 3% of the individuals listening to this will actually do it. But that's what the stats show.
Yeah, forget about martial artists in general. I mean, even Tony Robbins says that, like, you know, 80% of the people who buy a motivational tape, CD, or book never even read it or open the cover. So, I mean, it is an absolute truth because I coach people, and they pay me good money every week to coach them. And when I get around to it, only a small portion of them actually do what they should be doing. Some of them will take little smidgens of things and say, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what I should do, and they translate it into what's convenient and easy for them. And if you ever read any books, and I know you love to read, there are books out on people that are successful, they always tell you about this golden rule that, you know, 80% of the people are not doing what they need to do, while 20% or even less are the ones that are out there doing it. And that's the 80-20 rule. Or, you know, we spend and waste 80% of our time, and 20% of our time is actually valuable, and we're using it for the right reasons. But it is an interesting dynamic, but very, very true.
Most definitely. And, again, this isn't a call about the phone script, but you got to start somewhere. And then
right.
you move into the pathway on what I call the roadway to success on how they're going to be treated. But even after that, you know, how many times have you coached individuals that, you know, you talk to them about their class schedule and their curriculum and like, oh, yeah, I already have that. But,
right.
You know, and then when they finally give in and let you take a look at it, when they change it and they see that dramatic difference or even a slight difference because you see that, you know, at red belt they have more people dropping out and you say, you know what, we need to change the curriculum at red belt, or we need to add in a few other things to make it more exciting, or there needs to be some
yeah.
more communication that's happening at red belt, you know, whatever. It makes a huge difference, but you would never know that if you didn't start building that foundation and keep on moving forward. That's why, you know, we have the communications that we do from white belt all the way to black belt and then beyond, and they're set. It's not that I don't go back and take a look at the stats and see if there's something that I can do better, because I do that. But
right.
without that information, you're not going to be able to actually diagnose anything.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, and that's really cool about journaling, because, you know, you find out first as an owner what you're not doing. and I'll give you really quickly. I once had a guy that I coached, and his one of the things on his bucket list was to play the guitar. And so he was practicing it all the time. It became literally an addiction of his. And, you know, when I talked to him, he'd be at his school. He'd have his guitar with him, and he'd spend time playing that guitar. And I asked, well, write down all the times that you're doing all your things. He did the journaling, and I found he was playing his guitar like 30 hours a week. And he was working on his school like 12, you know, because he was playing his guitar, because that was his thing. I said, now, if you just shift that 30 hours a week into marketing and take your guitar down to 4 or 5 hours a week, you're going to see results in your business. So obviously what we put our effort into, it's bound to show results. It's no matter what, even if you have a crappy flyer and you go out and you give it out to tons of people, you're bound to get some phone calls. It might even be the worst flyer in the world, but you're bound to get someone who bites on it. It's a law of averages, right? Of course, if your marketing is great and you're doing it doubly and getting it out there, then you're going to get even better results. And that's another point that I have to make, too. Sometimes we spin our wheels in certain areas, and we're not doing them correctly, and we're actually shooting ourselves in the foot. So we have to be careful there, and that's where it's time to say, well, maybe I'm not. I'm a karate guy. I'm a ninjutsu guy. I'm a jujitsu guy. Maybe I'm not a marketing expert. I should hire a company. Like, for instance, I was just on the phone with one of my clients who owns a construction company, and they pay $2,000 a month to a marketing firm to get them leads. However, they get only about maybe 8 to 10 leads a month. However, they're signing up 3 to 4 of those leads. Now, we're talking massive money jobs, $50,000, $100,000 jobs. So it is well worth what he's paying, you know, to get those leads. And he doesn't know anything about it. He leaves it to this company, and he's making serious, serious money off of it. So that just goes to show you why it's worth finding the right people.
Yeah, or learning how to do it yourself. I enjoy the marketing, but if you don't enjoy it, then you're absolutely right. You need to find somebody that does enjoy it and
right.
know what they're doing. Yeah, most definitely. But it's all the foundational things. It's all, this isn't the sexy term, but, you know, it's all the basic things.
Right, Right. And you go back to, you were just coaching a client this week, and you went back, and I've coached them, and now you're coaching them. And we're back to the drawing board, where no matter what I've told them, most of the percentages of things that we told them to do, now you're going back to the beginning and saying, well, where is it? You know, why aren't you using this? And I've given them the complete systems from A to Z, and they're still not using it. So you got to scratch your head and go, like, what the heck is going on here? Like, why is it that if someone handed you the formula to make whatever, and you just don't use it, and you keep trying to make it and keep hitting yourself over the head because you can't, why not just go and use the damn formula and use it? Actually use it, though, and make it work for you. Make sense?
Well, yeah, you're preaching to the choir here, but yeah. But I get it. I mean, we've talked about that before, though. We've talked about the fear of change. We've talked about, humility or, whatever it is that makes – or laziness. But, whatever makes that individual not put it into play or change it up and not use what exactly does work, you know. But that would, we can just refer everybody to that call that we did, because we spent a lot of time talking about that.
Right, exactly. Anyway, so yeah, that's my suggestion. I would say for people out there, journal a little. Go back to the call that's about journaling. I believe I even included some sort of handout. If not, you guys could always email me and I could get you some information on how to journal. Going back to what Dwayne and I are really saying, and I'll summarize and then maybe you could summarize it as well, we could wrap the call up, is that I believe what we've been chatting about is more so about us explaining to the school owners that it's not about the fancy next shiny object. It's all about getting back to basics, but actually doing them to the point where you get results. Because sometimes people give up prematurely. They try it and they give up and they quit. We want you to stick to it and do those things over and over again, congruently, consistently, and then you'll see the results. And that's what I think is important, is the basic foundational qualities of a business. And if you do that, hopefully you'll last as long as I have and longer, because I've been around for those 24 years doing it. And, I laugh sometimes because I hear coaches out there and I read their posts, and, some of them are, touting how awesome they are, and they're buying buildings and they did this and did that. I'm like, I own my buildings, all of them, and I paid them all off in full years ago, so I've been doing this stuff, and this is what I consider basic stuff, is the basic business. If people would have followed what I've been doing all along, they'd be in the same place as well. However, they're so caught up in running towards the next fancy thing that sounds like the next best game or whatever, they end up hurting themselves in the long run, because it's just like we tell our students, you need to focus on getting the move down and learning it so that you could do it, not just so you could pass the test and then forget it. Right? So what's your thoughts?
No, I totally agree. And you got to make sure that all your ducks are in a row, that the even though maybe the basic stuff is boring, that you have it all in place before you actually start implementing all these bright and shiny objects, new fandangle things, or whatever they are. And they're important. I'm not trying to negate the importance of some of these things, because they are. They are important.
Yeah.
But until you have the groundwork laid, you're building a shack on sand that's going to obviously fall.
And you know what? I agree with you, and I want to point out that I'm not a guy who's caught in the past at all. I love all the new things, Google AdWords, Google TV, internet marketing, social media. All of that stuff is great. However, if you learn it, which is cool, and you get leads coming in and you don't have those sign-up methods, you don't have those systems in place, it's almost like, why bother? You're wasting money on things that are going to produce results that you're not going to be able to close. So this is why it's really important to have those basic foundational qualities in place, so that you can, if you want to buy those new bright, shiny objects, you'll be able to at least handle them and benefit from them rather than just wasting your money.
Yeah, most definitely. So, Well, I appreciate your time, Allie. I think the call was beneficial to everybody. So
I hope so. We get a lot of compliments, Dwayne, on what people, like, you know, wow, that was eye-opening. You know, that was amazing, that call. So, I mean, and sometimes for you and I, it's just the basics. But I honestly believe that what we talk about is just what people are thinking and wanting to ask. So thanks for sharing. As a successful school owner, I appreciate you doing that. And I'm happy. I know you are, but I can't speak for you, but I'm happy to be on these calls, and it helps me too.
Oh, I'm elated. Like I told you, I wanted to do these years ago, and you know, we just now started last year, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Very cool. All right, everybody, it's great talking to you again. Until next time, get those foundation systems down and do some journaling, and, you know, email us if you have any questions, and, you know, we'd both love to chat with you.